New year is upon us. 2017, you seasoned senior saints, think about that. Amen. 2017, just amazing. Time stands still for no one, does it? It just keeps marching on. You know, I wish you a good new year. I wish you a good new year. There are several things in the Word of God that are classified as good. You know, when God created the world in 6 days, let me pause and say that again. I said, God created the world in 6 days. Everything in it, visible, invisible. Amen. You know what God Himself said of His creation? Behold, it was very good. Amen. I think about just a chapter later, He would tell us that marriage is good. It's not good for a man to be alone. But then later on in Proverbs chapter number 18, verse 22, it says, "He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing." Now, I don't recommend that you call your wife a good thing, but God's Word said it. Amen. Okay? Marriage is a good thing. You know, a full life is good. The Bible says that God said to Abraham that he would die after he lived. He would live to a good old age. Thank God for that. Miss Beth, I see you here today, and I know your heart's breaking back there. Your mom, sweet mom, lived to a good old age. Almost 93, just a few days short of her 93rd birthday. I think about the purposes of God are good. When Joseph said to his brothers, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." And we know that all things work together for good. Romans 8:28 tells us. I think about the result of obedience. Joshua 1:8 says, if you'll obey the law, that you'll have good success. I think about the promises of God. Joshua, at the end of his life, Joshua 23:14, he said, "There hath not one thing failed you of all the good that He hath promised you." I think about the way to live that the Bible talks about several times. I believe it's three different times He talks about, this is the good way. Walk ye in it. God Himself is classified as good. As for the Lord, as for God, He is good. His mercy endureth forever. You know, in the psalmist, Psalm 73:28, he said, "It is good for me to draw near unto God." That's a good thing for you to get closer to God. You know, God's Word is good. Psalm 119:39 says, "Thy judgments are good." Gratitude to God. Psalm 92 verse 1 says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." Hey, you know what? Some of you sourpusses, the Bible says laughter is good. "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." We always used to joke with Dr. Malone. "Dr. Malone, smile." He said, "I am smiling." Amen. You know, the Bible says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The will of God's good. The will of God's good. I know people try to make God out to be a bully and a tyrant. I'm telling you this, the will of God is good. I've been in it for a long time. I remember what my life was before I was in the will of God. The will of God is good. You know, works are good. The Bible tells us in Galatians 6:10, as ye have opportunity, do good to all men, especially them that are of the household of faith. So many things that are good. Our key text today, if you look at Nehemiah chapter 2, look at verse 18. The back half of the verse there, Nehemiah is exhorting God's people, and he says, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for what? This good work. This good work. Nehemiah and Ezra are often properly linked together. They were contemporaries during this amazing period of time. Ezra led in the book before Nehemiah here, led in a spiritual revival, and Nehemiah led in a physical restoration of Jerusalem. those of you that know your history, and it doesn't necessarily have to be Bible history, but history tells us that in 586 BC, the walls of Jerusalem were destroyed by the invading armies of Babylon, led by Nebuchadnezzar. In 549 BC, the Persians, led by Cyrus II or Cyrus the Great, conquered Media and combined their strength, and it became known as what we call the Medo-Persian Empire. And in 539 BC, Cyrus conquered the capital city of Babylon, and the Mede and the Persian Empire there would supplant the Babylonians, and for 200 years would last until they were supplanted by Greece. And it's during this time that Nehemiah comes along. And it's incredible. He if you know the book of Nehemiah, it starts off with Artaxerxes the king of Persia, and Nehemiah is his cupbearer. Nehemiah was a humble servant, but had to do one of the most difficult and one of the most dangerous jobs. And that was, if someone wanted to poison the king, they would often do it through food or drink. And it was Nehemiah's job to test the food, to test the drink. And so Nehemiah would be the first one to go. Obviously, he's a wonderful servant. And as you read this story, it's just incredible. What happens there in Nehemiah chapter 1 is he receives the news that the walls of Jerusalem are still broken down. And in chapter 4 or chapter 1, verse 4 through 11, he weeps and he fasts and he prays to God about the situation. And then in chapter 2, as we read in our text, we find out that the king says to him, he says, "Hey, you're sad. I've never seen you that way before." By the way, what a great testimony. What a great testimony Nehemiah was on the job, doing his job. He said, "I've never seen you. This is nothing more but sorrow of heart. What's the matter?" And I love what it says there in chapter 2. I think it's verse 4. Look at it with me there. And it says, then the king, he says, "For what dost thou make request?" "So I prayed to the God of heaven." I don't think Nehemiah got down on his knees and said, "Oh Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." I think he just quickly whispered a prayer and said, "God, help me to ask for the right things." And what happened is he told him what was going on in Jerusalem. He told him how it laid waste and how it laid so heavy on his heart. And he asked him if he could have leave to go to Jerusalem and help build it back up. And then God not only answers his prayer, but gives him way more than he asked for. By the way, that's the way God is. We want him to answer a prayer in a specific way, and he doesn't. We get a little upset with God, but then in the end, he gives us far more than we ever asked for. And you read this story; it said he gave him timber, and he gave him armed men to go with him, and he gave him letters bearing his seal. Incredible. And he comes to Jerusalem, and he inspects the walls there in chapter 2, and he comes kind of to the key text that we look at, verses 17 through 20, and he encourages the people and says, let's get busy for God. There's work to do. Let's build this wall back up and that we not be a reproach. And he says there in verse 18, he says, this good work. You know, the context of the good work, ladies and gentlemen, was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Amen. Can I tell you this? Can I make an application? Loomis Park Baptist Church, this is a good work. This is a good work. This is a work that we need to do together. And I want to talk about that this morning. I know many of you that are members got a letter this week from us, and we're trying to do some renovations here this year, and we're not going to go into debt to do it. We're going to pay cash as we go, amen, as the Lord provides for it. It's about $250,000 worth of renovations that we want to do. And yes, that's part of the work. But you know what else is part of the work? Hello, my name's Rich. I'm from Loomis Park Baptist Church. We're just out in the area inviting folks out to church today. I'd like to ask you a question. if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Well, could I show you how? Can I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen? If we just do the physical work around this property and don't do the spiritual work that God has called us to do, God doesn't have to bless us. See, it's amazing what this text tells us about that. But I want to give us three things this morning about this good work. First of all, number one, it's going to take commitment to God. It's going to take commitment to God. Look at verse 17 of chapter 2. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are now in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands in this good work. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not trying to be unkind. You're here, and many of you will be here for the afternoon service, and many of you will be here on Wednesday night, but no work for God was ever done to its fullest potential with unfaithful people. Listen to me. As your pastor, I love you. God has commanded you to be faithful, and I am begging you. I am begging you, down on my knees. If I thought it would do any good, I would come to your house when you're not at church and beg you to be faithful in church. God needs you here. You need what is preached out of this pulpit. Not this preacher, this book. This book. This, we need people to be committed for God. People so often in this day just waffle. Well, I don't know. I saw a list of things, and a pastor sent it out, and I was just looking at it. I said, "Oh my goodness, that's so sad." It was supposed to be kind of a funny thing, but it wasn't. I'm getting some ring here, Eddie. I don't know if you got me on here or here, but I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the excuse list that we make, here's a letter that a person wrote to their pastor, said, "Dear pastor, you often stress attendance at worship as being very important for a Christian, but I think a person has a right to miss now and then." By the way, the problem with that statement is the words, "I think." God said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But I think a person has a right to miss now and then. I think every person ought to be excused for the following reasons and number of times indicated. Christmas holidays, the Sunday before and after. That's two Sundays. New Year's, the party lasted too long. That's one Sunday. Today. Easter, getaway for the holidays. Two Sundays. July 4th, national holiday, one Sunday. Labor Day, need to get away, two Sundays. Memorial Day, visit hometown folk, one Sunday. School closing, kids need a break, one Sunday. School reopens, one last fling, one Sunday. Family reunions, mine and the wife's, three Sundays. Sleep late, stayed up too long on Saturday night, nine Sundays. Deaths in the family, two Sundays. Anniversary, second honeymoon, one Sunday. Sickness, one per family member, five Sundays. Business trip, a must, one Sunday. Vacation, 3 or 4 weeks, six Sundays. Bad weather, ice, snow, rain, or clouds, two Sundays. Sports, two Sundays. Races, two Sundays. Unexpected company, can't walk out, two Sundays. Time change, spring and fall, two Sundays. Special on TV, three Sundays. Pastor, that leaves two Sundays per year, so you can count on us to be in church on the fourth Sunday of February and the third Sunday in August, unless we're providentially hindered. Is that sad? You know why it's sad? Because it's reality for a lot of people. Hey, listen, this day is a great day to say, you know what? I am committing myself to God. I always say, and please, I know you say you're the pastor, your staff. I wasn't always a pastor. And before I was a pastor, I just decided this. I was going to try to be as faithful to the service as the pastor was. That's what I decided a long time ago, Brother Ken. As a layman, I said, I'm going to try my best to be as faithful to the service as the pastor. Some people work. I know that. Some people are out of town. You should take a vacation, but you don't need 6 weeks of vacation. Amen. It's hard to fill a Sunday school class with people that are on vacation all the time. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to find teachers for positions where faithfulness is required, where it's required, where it's required, where the kids say, "Where's Mrs. So-and-so?" or "Where's Mr. So-and-so?" And we say, "I don't know." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it took to build those walls, it took commitment to God. And I'm going to tell you, this good work right here, you know what it needs? Commitment. It needs commitment. Secondly, not only a commitment to God, but a calling of God's people. You see that there in verse 18. "Then I told them the hand of my God, which was good to me." And I love that. It's encouraging. And then also the king's words, which he had spoken. He said, if it wasn't enough that God's good hand was upon me, let me tell you, God moved the heart of the king to do all this for us. And then he said this, "So let us rise up and build." There was first a concern and then a calling of God's people. That's number two. Commitment to God, number one. Secondly, a calling of God's people. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you this. I have vision for this church. I have vision for this church. But you know what? We have to do it together. We have to. The best moments that I've ever had in this church, you wouldn't believe this, is actually during something like Vacation Bible School, where I'm what we call floating. I'm just floating. Just coming over here, take care of this, take care of that, talking to the kids. And I see all of our people in their place. It blessed my heart during that slideshow to see Mr. and Mrs. Kelly. And you know when that was taken? At Vacation Bible School. And you know what they do every year? This dear couple in their 80s, they count the pennies. They count the pennies. And see, Brother Keith, I don't know where you are, Brother Keith, you may be walking the halls or whatever, but see Brother Keith out there running the games. See Brother Jeff teaching the lesson. See precious people doing crowd control and more crowd control and more crowd control. Hey, listen, there's lots to do this year. There's lots to do. Can I tell you, just about every Saturday we try to go out and either go soul winning or sow the seed of the gospel on people's doors or visit shut-ins and widows and people that can't get out. And there's so much more we could do if you... And so what I'm doing is I'm calling. I'm saying, please, we need you. We need you. We need you. We need you. It said, let us rise up and build. Listen, let me just say this. I talked about commitment and calling. It's hard to make that call if you're not committed. I can make it, but you've got to make it a priority. Thirdly, and so important, commitment to God, a calling of God's people. Look at verse 20. And this, of course, was Nehemiah's answer to Tobiah and Sanballat and these wicked men. You know they're wicked when you read in chapter 2 that they were upset that someone was coming asking about the welfare of Israel. They were upset about it. I would assume they were probably into money making. I don't know. But it says in verse 20, Nehemiah says, "Then I answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us." Not only do we need commitment to God for this good work, not only do we need the calling of God's people for this good work, but we need confidence in God's purpose for this good work. Why, Pastor? I'll tell you exactly why. What happened to Nehemiah will happen to us, and that is this: opposition. If you read the story of Nehemiah, and I don't have time to get into every one, but right off the bat in chapter 1, verse 10, all the way until completion, chapter 6, verse 15, there was what I call satanic opposition. It was trying to divert and discourage the work of God. Satan used ridicule, chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. He used threats, chapter 4, verse 7 through 9. He used discouragement. He used discouragement. He used discouragement. And that's one of his biggest weapons, amen. He uses discouragement in chapter 4, verse 10 through 23. He tried to use financial extortion, chapter 5, verse 1 through 13. Compromise, chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Lies, outright lies, chapter 6, verse 5 through 9. And betrayal, the end of chapter 6, verse 10 through 14, tried to lure Nehemiah off the wall so they could kill him. And I love that where he said, I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. I can't come down. Amen. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? We need confidence in God's purpose. This is a good work. I don't apologize for saying this. This is God's house. You say, oh, you know, God inhabits eternity. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, He wrote to us and said, that thou mayest knowest how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the church, which is the house of God. That's what He said. Amen. The house of the living God. This place, what happens here? What we want here is to have confidence in God's purpose. You know, when you have confidence in God's purpose, no matter how scared you are, you can go up to a complete stranger, pull a gospel track out of your pocket and say, I'd like to give you something. I'd like to share something with you. I appreciated a dear lady that has not been to our church in some time. But recently she called me and said she had a friend. She said to her friend, she said, you know, I want to see you on the other side. I don't want you to die and go to hell. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we need to have confidence in God's purpose that He wants us to reach people. That's the purpose of God. The purpose of God is not for us to have church, feel good, and go home. The purpose of God is for us to reach out to other people. What happens to this good work? It grows. It grows. Bless my heart. Bless my heart. Acacia, you getting baptized today. Bless my heart. God brought you folks here. God brought you folks here. Imagine if we were unfriendly. Imagine if we were uncaring. This precious couple came in and they said, boy, this place is pretty dull. This place is stiff. No friendly people here. Let's get out of here. Let's find someplace else. You know what we need? We need confidence in God's purpose. Let me give you four applications and we'll be done this morning. Get down, have some food. Number one, application, get committed. Get committed. God has a work for us to do. Amen? He needs us to be committed. So here's what you have to do to get committed. You have to commit yourself to be faithful. You just have to. Faithfulness is a decision, and so is unfaithfulness. It's a decision. The reason that you have not been faithful is because you have not decided that you are going to be faithful. Simple as that. There are providential hindrances. Amen. Absolutely. But I think that list is a little bit more accurate than people would like to admit. Amen. But all the missing services. You got to get committed. Hey, there's work for us. You got to get committed. Be faithful. Be generous. Be rooted right here. Listen, I've talked people out of leaving our church. I have. I literally have. If you knew the private things that happened, I've literally got down on my knees and begged folks not to leave this church. Why? Because we are doing a good work. We are a body. We need everyone that's here. Every one of us. Number two, not only get committed, but let's cooperate. Let's cooperate. Every one of us has a role. Let's play our role. Listen, you don't want me on that piano. I'm telling you, you don't. Unless it's buried in it or something, I don't know, amen. I could find middle C, Pastor Mark, that's about it, amen. Pastor Mark's role is to play that piano, amen. Miss Robin's role, Wednesday night, to play that piano. Hey, maybe God has not blessed you financially. Okay, that's all right. God hasn't given you that role. Maybe God has been good to you financially. God has given you that role. Let's cooperate. You know, when they built the wall, they all worked together. They all worked. It was just tremendous to read about. If you look back there, look at chapter 4. Look at chapter 4, verse number 15. How they had to work together because of opposition. Really, chapter 4, verse 15 says, "And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one to his work. And it came to pass that at that time forth, the half of the servants wrought in the work, and the other half held both spears and shields and bows and haberdashers." So here's these people, these guys, these masons, they're building the wall, and right behind them is another brother with a spear and a sword and a shield in case somebody came up to try. And you know what they did? They worked together. They worked together. They wrought in the work. Looking at that slideshow, it blessed me. Tears came to my eyes, and I thought, look at the work we did for God this year. We did. I didn't do it. Pastor Mark, you weren't here for half the year. Listen, Pastor Donald didn't do it. We did it. We did it. God did it. Through us and used us. So let's get committed. Let's cooperate. We all have a role. Let's play it. Chapter 4, verse 6, let's have a mind to work. Let's have a mind to work. I know some of these projects that we're planning, we're talking about doing renovations on the bathroom. I know people just jumped for joy when we said elevator. By the way, the elevator costs $50,000. There's probably another 30 to 40 in excavation and building that we have to do to make room and way for that elevator. And it's going to take work, and it's going to take sacrifice, and it's going to take money, and it's going to take all of us having a mind to work. I loved it. The day after the cantata, we went down. We got here at about 8:15. Pastor Mark and myself and Pastor Donald and Brother Jack and Lem came, and then Brother Tim and your friend came, and others just poured in, and we tore out that fireside room. The grid work and all the old lighting. You know what my job was? My job was to take stuff out to the dump trailer. I'm very skilled, as you can tell. I'm quite a craftsman. And my job was to shatter light bulbs, which was a lot of fun, actually. Amen. I went out to the dumpster with those long light bulbs. Ting, ting, ting. Amen. Had turned my head, had safety glasses on, all that. Hey, you know what? That was my role. That stuff had to get out. While these guys were doing the actual skilled stuff, taking this, and Lem was setting up wires and all that. Hey, but you know what it takes? It takes a mind to work. It takes a mind to work, saying, you know what? There's a work to be done, and God wants to use me to do the work. And then lastly, this morning, and this is so great. Let's get committed. Get planted. Get rooted right here. This is the place. Amen. Let's cooperate. Let's have a mind to work. And remember this. Remember that this work we're doing is God's work. I want you to look. Just follow me through these verses. It's so great. I was putting this together yesterday, and I just saw these verses. Oh, look at that. Chapter 2, verse 18. We've read it several times. It says there, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me." Chapter 2, verse 20 says, "Then answered I them and said, the God of heaven, he will prosper us." Chapter 4, look at verse 15, church. Chapter 4, verse 15. "And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone to his work." How about verse 20, chapter 4? It says, "In what place thereof ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us." Chapter 6, verse 16, after the completion of the wall, it says, "And it came to pass," or I'm sorry, chapter 6, verse 16 says, "And it came to pass that when our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things." What were they talking about there? The wall was built in 52 days. "They were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God." Ladies and gentlemen, we need a commitment to God. We need a calling of God's people. We need a confidence in God's purpose. So what are we going to do this year? For this good work, we need to get committed. We need to get committed. We need to cooperate. We need to have a mind to work. And we need to remember this is God's work. You know what those teachers are doing right now in those little classes with those little kids? Some teachers are going like this right now. Some teachers are saying, you know what, buddy? God loves you. God loves you. That's a good work. That's a good work. This good work. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege to be here.